Good afternoon, church. It's a privilege and joy and honor to bring God's word in KT at this time. I bring you greetings on behalf of my colleagues who are working in the northern part of India. The organization where I'm representing is Open Gates, and my colleague is here, Peter Jairaj. Would you raise up that so that people can know that? So just welcome him. And I'm married, my wife, and I have three children, and oldest is a medical doctor, and she's married, and I have a grandkid also. They both are in missions in one of the, one of the northern part, very difficult area, they are serving the Lord. The second and third, they are in the college. And I have wonderful committed people with me in India, and especially we work in a state, Maharashtra and Jharkhand, and then we are slowly into Bihar and Gujarat. These are the very tough places for the gospel. And I know by the power of the gospel, absolutely everything is possible. Our God's word and God's the anointing of his people will penetrate everything. And that is absolutely, we need to be available to God so that God can use us. And the ministry, what we are involved, it has a very, very beautiful connection with the Elim. I'm involved with, connected with the Elim from 2010 onwards, almost 15 years. And good friends, Paul Hudson and Tinian brother and his wife, he went to be with the Lord, David Tinian, and Bobby is there. And other few friends, many of you knew that I visited several churches even in the UK. And I'm so glad to get connected with Pastor Malcolm and also Pastor Scott at this time so that, you know, it'll be a great connection in the days to come. And today, I'm so glad and I'm so happy to listen one particular area which Pastor was telling about 130 nations in this place. And people have come here. And people will go from here. That is what God is interested to tell us today, so that it will be a challenge for us. Let me just begin with one story, which you all, many of you may not know. There are four characters, four people from the UK who actually invested their life in India. One is Ollie Jarvis, and Joy Bath, and Sylvia Beardwell, and Reverend D.C. Lewis. They came almost 75 years back to India when there was, now the technology we all know how it is. Some of their photos, you can just see that. The other two, I couldn't get it. And they came and we were working in those places and now, and in that, out of these three women, and two died out of cancer. And one died because of a very deadly disease which she got it because she was helping somebody else who had the disease. And they all finished their race wonderfully well. And we could see now, after 75 years, hundreds of churches are planted. Bible school have come up. Hospital ministry have come up. And training and mercy ministry have sprung up. And we could see when people, individuals, commit their life, and when they are available to God, God is wonderfully using them. That is the root of Elim. Let us not forget it. And as we are sitting and listening to God's word today, God is taking us to a next realm of partnership with him. And today I just want to really, you know, bring our attention to what is our normal prayer request when we come to church. Lord, let me worship you. Lord, let me understand you better. Lord, I have a need in my physical body. Lord, I have a need in my finances. Lord, I have a need in my relationship. Most of our requests, it goes into our own personal needs. It's perfectly fine. God wants every one of us to ask him. Prayer is part of God's design. As a heavenly Father, he wants us to talk to him whatever we need. But here, if you really see the whole totality of the word and also God's expectation on our life, it is a little different. And I want you to really see that, you know, there is a beautiful, great revival which is happening in the UK among the young people. And God wants us to turn our boat a little bit so that we are part of what God is doing in our lives. And today, I just want to just take our attention a little bit different. Not like what I want. I just want to turn it a little bit and just ask a question, Lord, what do you want? So that will put so many things in our life, it'll put in perspective. It'll make us to really look to God in a very different attitude. Otherwise, we always come to the Lord with a need. And here today, the title of the message which I have given here is Passion for Christ. Passion for Christ. And let me turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Let me just give a base why it is so important in our life. And 1 Corinthians 3, 9, it says, we are co-laborers with Christ. We are co-laborers with Christ. Now let me do something which I always do in India. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, what are you doing with God? See, it's a question. The moment you ask something, it opens up in our mind. Hey, what am I doing with God? We are co-laborers with Christ. So if we are not doing something with God today, stay tuned with this word and God will minister to you. That doing something with God is not the pastor's job alone. Doing something with God is not some exclusive people. They are missionaries, they are called by God, they are somewhere out and they are doing so many things for God. No. Every one of us who accept Christ, we are co-laborers with Christ. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Let me just turn one very, very strong word which changed my attitude and my devotion to God. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. Exodus, chapter 3, verse 7 to 10. In the seventh word, it's talking about how God looks at the misery of the Israel people. And it says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people. See, God who sees. And then if you really see that, if you have more time, you can meditate on that. At the eighth word, it says, God came down. That's another beautiful character of God. He looks at every misery of people. When somebody cries, God looks at them. God comes down. But the challenge for me, for you and me to understand, is the 10th word. What is the 10th word it's talking about? Then God is calling Moses, and Moses is telling God, hey, you go and talk to Pharaoh. I have a logical problem here. And I always think in a different way. And here, what should have been the ideal case? Instead of showing only to Moses, God should have shown himself to Pharaoh. Then the follow-up work is much easier. You and I can just go and muster people. Oh, God has shown to Pharaoh, so everything is very easy. But here, if you see, the God who saw the cry of people, he came down, and then he is not acting. He is looking for a man or a woman like you and me so that we can represent God in the places where God has kept us. Brothers and sisters, if you can just understand this, God's ministry, how we do, how we cooperate with God, and it will be an entirely different thing. Now, again, I want you to do something similar to this. What I'm asking, you turn to your neighbor and tell that. If God wants to use you, turn to your neighbor. If God wants to use you, how are you going to speak? If I would have been in Moses' place, I would have said that, Lord, do me a favor. You have shown me so many times. Why can't you just go to Pharaoh and then show yourself once? The rest I will take care. It's very easy. But here, this word is telling a spiritual truth. God always works through people who are available to him. Brothers and sisters, if you can just say that, Lord, I am available to you. Lord, you can use me. And if you can just come to that level, the influence, what you and I can do in other people's life is tremendous. Because it's God using us for his glory. And let me just, if you are praying something like this, many times we do this prayer. Lord, I am doing this. Come and bless. It's a very spiritual prayer. But I would ask you to just go to next level and say that, Lord, what are you doing? Please use me there. This gives a very different thing. We don't want God to bless what we are doing, but rather we need to be part of what God is doing. That will make us real co-laborers with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When that thinking comes and settles deep down in our heart, our life will be different, and the way God can use us will go to a next level. Three areas I just wanted to share quickly with you. How we can have passion for Christ. Very, very significant, very, very simple truth. Turn with me to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 4. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verse 4. Here it is talking about a great change which happens in the life of Nehemiah. Bent knees and a broken heart. How we can have passion for God. How we can be co-laborers with Christ. Brothers and sisters, today it's a different dimension of prayer. The fourth verse it says, when Nehemiah heard what has happened to the wall of Jerusalem, four things he did. He sat down. Second, he wept. Third, he mourned for many days. And fourth, he fasted. And fifth, he prayed. All these five steps, please understand it. Now, let me ask you a question. When is the last time you did this five? When is the last time you did this five? He sat down. He removed all the distractions. And then what he did? He wept. When is the last time that you wept in the presence of God for somebody? Brothers and sisters, if our true devotion to God is there or not, one checkpoint is there. Am I selfish or am I co-laborer with Christ? This answer, this checkpoint will help us to understand and reevaluate our life. When is the last time that you wept for somebody? When is the last time that you mourned for somebody? When is the last time you fasted? And if somebody is asking, brother, sister, why are you fasting? And you are saying that, you know, right in the corner of my street, I have a neighbor who has not come to know the Lord and I'm fasting. When is the last time you told that? If there is some revival has to come in London, that's what our church vision. And if it has to influence the nations, the church members, every one of the believers, we need to follow these five principles. Sitting down, quietly waiting upon the Lord, and then asking God, weeping, why we need to weep? The soul, the precious soul, when it goes to hell, we cannot say that, oh, they are not open to the Lord. We cannot simply keep quiet. It will make us to come to tears. It will make us to mourn for days and fasted and prayed. Then the action plan comes much, much easier. Brothers and sisters, when is the last time that you fasted and prayed for your colleague? We dichotomize our church life with our professional life. Every person who comes in our physical proximity is God-ordained person for each one of us. May God give us that understanding. Maybe your classmate, maybe the person who is studying with you, the person who is just coming for walking, you will come across, you will bump at each other and say hi and go. Every person who comes in our physical proximity is God-ordained person for us. Let us not miss that opportunity. I want to really remind you one thing. Nehemiah was never called. There is not even a single call in Nehemiah's life to go and build a wall. But he built the wall. Why? He sat down, he wept, he mourned for many days, and he fasted, and he prayed, and God used him as a mighty man to do something impossible in 52 days. God is interested today in this place. And you can say that, Lord, yes, Lord, fill me with the spirit of prayer that I am available to you for the revival in London and the ends of the earth. May God help us to do that. Let me just give you a story. We were there in Bihar for several years, almost 18 years we worked there. We lived and worked there. I know one of the missionaries, and they had a son around 5 years. And there was a big procession going on. People do not know Christ. They carried so many things, and then they were just dancing and, you know, just making a lot of crackers, and then the procession was going on. People who do not know Christ. And all those people, they were just watching outside, and they said, "What?" Immediately we become judgmental, right? Normally, when somebody is doing something is not from the Bible, we always say, "Oh, okay, these people are, you know, not in the Lord." But suddenly, the parents of the boy, they searched for him, and then he was not there. The mother was running here and there and searching. What happened to that 5-year-old guy? And suddenly she thought that, you know, washing machine and the wash basin, and in between there is a small gap. This guy, kneeling down, with straight kneeling position, held his hands, both the hands up, and then he was just closing his eyes, and then his mouth was moving. 5-year-old. Then the mother was asking, "What happened? Why are you here?" "Mama, those people are going to hell. I'm just praying." Brothers and sisters, when is the last time that you look at your neighbor who doesn't come to church and then shed one drop of tears and ask God, "Father, bring them. Father, bring them." And you will be proactive. We will go and talk to people. Brothers and sisters, let our faith result in action. God wants us to be a people of prayer. God will take care of all your needs, and even if it doesn't take care of your need, we are co-laborers with Christ. I gave you those 4 examples. 3 people died in sickness. In what are the prayers, what you are asking? Some of us are frustrated when our prayers are not answered. But if you can just come back, may God anoint us with a special anointing that we will have a different realm in our prayer life. The church revival will start when every one of us asks God, "Lord, fill me the prayer anointing which was resting upon Nehemiah, that we can be a blessing to our nation." Today, as we are going to pray at the end of this meeting, I pray God will grip us with the prayer of Nehemiah. Selfless prayer. Praying in the Spirit with the Spirit's burden. That will open doors in your own street. That will open doors in your own workplace. That will make miracles to happen in your place. And that will give you the opportunity to bring the gospel to people. Fervent prayer. When we have bent knees and when we have tears in our eyes, God will use every one of us as mighty tool in the hand of God. Brothers and sisters, each one of us are equally important for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God. God wants us to use us, and in the days to come, may God use us. Let us pray at the end so that God can fill us in that anointing. Number 2, God wants us to open our mouth. Open our mouth filled with the gospel. As I already told in the base verse, Moses was instrumental in God's hand. God could have spoken, but he didn't do that. Why? Because he is expecting you and me to speak in faith. He wants us to represent. It's an amazing thing. You know, sometimes, you know, when you have children, the children will tell that, "He's my father, he's my mother, he's my brother." They will introduce us in a very, very strong way to other people. As a parent, you will feel so joyful. God wants every one of us to represent him to our people. Let me just bring you to one Bible verse, which is very, very important for us to know. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 to 4. Here it is talking about Naaman, the leper. Here, he had leprosy, and so, you know, and he was a very, very strong man. Not a good man, it seems. And he went, and what he did? The fourth verse, the second verse, it says that, you know, and when they go out for raids, and he had brought back a captive, a young girl from the land of Israel. I want to talk to you about the life of that young girl. The name itself is not written there. And if I would have been in that place, and if I am a high charismatic guy, what I would have prayed? "Lord, thank you for your judgment on this man. And this guy should die in his leprosy." Simple. Why? He wronged me. He took me out of my parents, and I'm suffering. And she, we would have been there, we would have written a letter that, you know, no human trafficking. You know, save me. You know, all my parents are gone. Everything. You know, she has every right to give us a good prayer newsletter and saying that, oh, pray for me. But this lovely young lady, she went there, and she's seeing this man has a need, and only the power of God can deliver him. She's able to see that. Brothers and sisters, the second area is looking at the need of other people and then be the channel through our mouth. Speak. The gospel has to be shared. And this lady, what she says, she's saying that, you know, such a small girl, she could understand that, you know, if she goes to the God Jehovah through the prophet, he will get saved, he will get healed. She understood the simple gospel. Sometimes, you know, we all see that, you know, oh, brother, I cannot answer some of the, you know, questions people ask. I don't know why these bad things happen. People ask a lot of apologetic questions, and I cannot answer. Brothers and sisters, God is not asking you to convince anybody. Here, this girl, she just told, and eventually, if you see that, Naaman went through his own seeking. He went through his own problem. When the prophet told that, go and get yourself, you know, washed for 7 times, he got upset. He was very intellectual. He said that, what nonsense you're talking about? And he figured out the gospel on his own. But which is a key for everything, somebody with the little things, what do you and me know, just go and speak it. And God can use it mightily. And if you read the, you know, 17th verse, I say, the Naaman says that, hey, from today onwards, God Jehovah is my God. I will never even bow down to any other idols. And he got an exemption also. What a wonderful thing. All things, how it happened, one small individual went beyond her personal crisis and to share the gospel. Some of us are saying that, you know, Lord, you heal me, then I will go and testify. And if the Lord doesn't heal you, will you not testify? When the Lord gives you the ability to go through pain, will you not testify? This girl never was delivered from her slavery. But she was so confident. She said that, you know, that the gospel is not about what you feel and I feel. It's gospel is about what who he is. When we speak God to somebody, what will happen? God, Spirit of God operates. That's how it works. My brothers and sisters, we are co-laborers with Christ so that we can be testifying God to people. May God help us at this time. Samaritan woman, she had a very loose moral life. She did not stop. She immediately, even some of us may be thinking, oh brother, I myself struggling. With your own struggle, open your mouth and God can deliver people from the bondage and bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the world is before us. Let me just give you 2 stories shortly. I was in Calcutta airport and I was just planning to go for some ministry and one Buddhist monk came and then he was sitting there, tall, heavy guy, clean shaved. So the Lord was speaking to me saying that, you know, go and talk to him about me. I said that that's insane. It's, you know, in an international airport, you know, you just go to a Buddhist monk. So many people came in 3 buses and they were just kneeling down and then telling something. And then he was telling some good words. They were giving money to him. So I just called my wife and told that the Lord has put me in trouble. Please pray for me. I was just going with my luggage and 1 round, nothing worked. 2nd round, I said that, Lord, I'll just pray for him. No. Praying is not sufficient alone. You have to act. So I just went to him. Then I just looked at him. He was in a seat. Then I just told him, sir, he looked at me, Jesus loves you. And that's all. My tongue got stuck to the upper one. I forgot the gospel. I forgot all the Bible verse, everything blank. I look at him and he's looking at him and then we are just there. Suddenly he asked a question, why he should love me. Then I'm just praying, Lord, what can I talk next? Slowly the Lord revealed, you know, personal life. The areas where he's struggling. I said that, sir, you know, these areas. You know. So he just looked here and there and said that, come sit next to me. So then I said that, you know, how God can help in a personal life, a Buddhist monk struggling with personal life. So I just shared the gospel with him, and then at last, you know what he told, that, thank you for sharing, for this only I was waiting. Hallelujah. So when he was going in the flight, and when he was going, he just waved his hand and then went, and maybe in the second coming, I'll ask, Lord, where is that guy from, you know, Thailand? Simple. This is all. Your tongue gets stuck, it's okay. What you can, what simple thing you experience with Christ, share it with somebody. Whether they are, you, our duty is not to convince somebody. Our duty is to be the mouthpiece of Jesus to somebody. Just speak it. That's all what God wants us. Let me just give you one more example. I was traveling from Mumbai city to Pune in a taxi. The driver was a Muslim driver, Muslim brother. So when we were talking, suddenly he told that, you know, hey, sir, you know, in my house there is a demon. See, Muslim brothers, they are very much afraid of spirits. So, and he was just telling me that, you know, sir, you know, there is a spirit in my house, and then, you know, me and my mother is there, and I'm not getting married, I'm getting older, and then a lot of confusion in the house, that, you know, is there anything you have with you? See, the world is seeking. So I was just slowly, I was talking to him that, you know, okay, Jesus can, you know, how Jesus can help him, and then how. Then he said that, you know, okay, then I was talking about the name of Jesus and the power in the name of Jesus. And then he was saying that, you know, sir, how I can get it? He said that it's very simple, sinner's prayer. So he was driving, and then I just shared about the, I told him about sinner's prayer in Hindi, and he was repeating after me, and he was very good in English also. And we just reached our basement, and by the time he was very happy, saying that, you know, he wanted to, you know, give his house on rent and then go to another place. He was very happy. Sir, thank you for the hope. And I'm so glad that, you know, I gave my life to Christ. So I always carry Bibles. I always carry. Brothers and sisters, if you're serious about the gospel, have something. Have something in your bag. Have something so that you could meet somebody and give. Okay, I just gave him an English New Testament. I remember that I have a Urdu New Testament in my house. I just called my son and said that, hey, bring quickly the Urdu New Testament. Listen, the story is here, very, very key. I just gave the English, I took back the English New Testament, and I gave the Urdu to him. I said that, sir, you are comfortable in Urdu, so why can't you read? So he said that he was very thankful, and immediately he said that, you know, excuse me, sir, can I get that English also? I asked why. You know what he told? I have a friend who knows English, and I want to take this Bible to him. One person who heard the gospel 15 minutes back is able to think about his friend who do not know Christ. Brothers, how long we are in the church? How wonderfully God saved us. Are you ashamed of the gospel because of our reputation? Sometimes we feel so ashamed of our reputation, what others will think. Have you ever thought in your life what God will be thinking about you? And we can just refer that, okay, what God will be thinking about me. Oh, my son, my daughter, I gave you my life, and you are ashamed to tell somebody that same God can give you life. Brothers and sisters, may God give us that burden today. Every person who comes in our physical proximity is God-ordained person for you and me. The second area, open your mouth and talk about Christ. Speak the gospel. And today onwards, when you just ask God for grace, he will anoint you in such a way that the word will do its job in your life. Amen. Never bother about it. It will do its job in the days to come. You will be able to see. Number thirdly and lastly, I just want to share, open your eyes and see the ripe fields. God wants us to have an eyes which can see far. God wants us to have a visionary eyes. And I'm so glad that Pastor was talking about 50,000 house churches, 50,000 places where you want to have cell groups. Through whom it will come to pass. Every one of us who hear this message, when we all see the field in a different way, we'll be able to do that. Please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 4, verse 35. There God is telling, look, open your eyes and see, and look at the fields. They are ripe for gospel. And God's mind is always, always to the place where the gospel has not yet shared. And I'm so glad that Pastor was talking about 130 countries and another 75 is on the pipeline. And when that vision is there in your heart, in your mind, your whole perspective will be different. Why we need to do that? Very, very easy. Very, very cautiously, why we need to do that? Because we can be engrossed in our church. Our church is very heavy, and the activities of the church is very important. It builds people, and we can be so much inward looking. I don't know about the historical facts, how many of you are aware of it. The dip in the Elim churches happened 50 years back, because the church, it was declared to the church saying that where we have so much need locally, why should we concentrate globally? It was around 50 years back. So if you really see that the decline of the church growth happens because you don't understand the heart of God. So when we just see the ripe field which is ahead of us, the whole anointing which the Lord will bring into the church will be entirely different. We have to, the church should concentrate on evangelism. That's what we taught, these two things, pray and evangelize. Every member of the church should get involved in evangelism. And also the church is the place where we are equipped for discipleship. Every person is made perfect in God's kingdom. Wonderful. But where are we? The same area we need to look beyond. That is what God is saying. Please turn with me to the Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 38. It has a beautiful verse, and it will give us the right perspective how we need to look into it. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 38. And if you read from 32 onwards, Jesus had the wonderful, most successful ministry. Everybody came from different places. People were saved. People were so much blessed. And at the night, what Jesus is doing, if you just read through, you know, below, and 34 it says, then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out demons, many demons. Wonderful ministry, successful ministry. And then what he did, in the morning, Jesus, you know, he went for prayer, and the disciples are coming and then asking him, Lord, people are searching you. What do you will feel? You will feel so proud about it, isn't it? Wow, I had a wonderful ministry. And those who are in the ministry, you will know that, you know, when somebody is seeking after you, you will feel so blessed. You'll be so good in saying that, oh, Lord, thank you for using me. But if you really see our master, our model, the person who gives us the perfect model, he is just telling in 38 verse, he said that, but he said to them, when they were asking, Master, everybody is searching for you, he just said to them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. My brothers and sisters, always the church should always look to the place where there are no churches, where there are no believers, where there are no, the countries. I'm so glad that, you know, the KT is so involved in many countries. So all these 130 countries where you are representing, brothers and sisters, take back. Take back. Look into your own country, why God brought you here. It's a very good country. It feeds you well. It's a country with honey and milk. I'm very glad. But when you go back, why God brought you here? Why God brought you here? God is saying that one more village, one more village. When the Creator, when the God Himself is having this value, that should be the principle of the church where it has to be focusing. I pray that every one of our time, our talent, our resources, when it is moving towards that, and when we are personally involved, from the same UK, those four missionaries, they came to India 75 years back. And we also heard so many stories. People gave their life. Why? Because individuals always look to God, even in the area, Lord, the new places. Which place God is putting in your heart? Which place God is putting in your heart? Don't stop with the project. Many of us, we are so comfortable with the project, and we say that, you know, we have done something good. That's only the beginning. Go beyond. And God is saying that I must preach in a new place for that purpose only that I have come. And when we give ourselves for that, that will bring us a lot of change in our life. You know, recently we were mentoring a couple, young couple in the Pune city. Pune city, there are many churches here and there. And these couple, they were there, they were the elders of a church. Listen very carefully. They were well settled, well respected in a church. And they were saying that, brother, we are not happy with it. Something is missing in our life. We are not looking at the same place where God is looking at. And they came up with an idea saying that, you know, there is an IT park. It's a very expensive place, isn't it? Normally, when we think about a church plant, we'll always look for a cheapest property. Wherever it is there, you know, we can say, oh, we can afford only that. But this guy came and then you're saying that, you know, this place, a lot of people, IT people, they all are in the very, they're financially good. I said that, why can't you go there? Very difficult for him. Still, he's struggling with his rent and hall and everything. But he went to the right in the place where the gospel should go. Brothers and sisters, that should be our thing. Some business people may be here. Brothers and sisters, why God has kept you in the business? Do something so that in the heart of the place, in the business world, God's name will be glorified. And that is the place where God wants is looking at the next place to preach. I pray God will give us that anointing that we'll be able to really look into that. Two more examples and I'm done and we'll be able to pray together. Recently, one young man came to me and then said that, you know, he's burdened with a place called Bid. That's a central Maharashtra. That's a place, very dry place. So we had a survey for so many times there. That's a place where a lot of sugarcane harvesters, they migrate. 6 months they migrate, they come back. And the children education, you know that. You know, they live in the sugarcane field with the plastic sheet. Hundreds and thousands of people. So we visited them and we could identify that, you know, those women and the children have terrible time. Children, how? 6 months, if they are not in the house, their education is in chaos. And women, girls, when they get, you know, 14, 15 years, they get them married. And by 22, 23, they get 2-3 children. And then one article in the newspaper caught my attention. And it was saying that, you know, there's a mafia, there is a, you know, underground people, they bring these young couples and they make the women's uterus, they remove it. Why? Because when they take them for sugarcane harvesting, they will not have monthly cycles and they will not have the fear of pregnancy. I said that it's insane. It affects the health of the women. And they just charge them £1,000 for 6 months. But not predominantly, they will get the next 6 months also, they will get the money and they become bonded laborers for generations. I said that, Lord, what is this? We started praying. Brothers and sisters, when there are so many needs in one place, there are much more higher needs in other places also. We need to really look at it. We were praying and they visited and then we tried to understand. And this boy, he came and he left his church. He left his church and then he said that, you know, brother, I want to go to that particular place. He was already a pastor of a church with 60 members, baptized new people, thriving well. He said that that place, God has put burden in my heart. I'm going there. You know what was the exit speech he gave? And he told, if I die, I will die there. I will not come back because I'm a failure in ministry. What a wonderful word, because he understood the heart of God and then he has committed for that particular place. You know what happened? It's hardly 2 years, less than 2 years, 1.5 years. He could actually establish churches in 3 places. And in 1 places, we have already built a church and then we are inaugurating next month. God is looking for individuals. God is looking for individuals. He went there, 2-3 villages, he could find places and started tuitions. Why? There is a need. When there is a felt need, do it. And this boy, his exit testimony always keeps in my mind. I will not come back because I failed in the ministry. That is a commitment. Success is not in what you achieve. Success in your obedience. When we just obey, the rest God will take care of it. Glory belongs to him. Ministry belongs to him. And he can use any one of us. Brothers and sisters, what is the toughest place in London? Take it. What is the toughest location where the preaching the gospel is next to impossible? Take it. And when you take it, and then when you make an attempt, and God will use you mightily in that place. One testimony, and we will go in prayer. When we were in Bihar, one sister, she had cancer, one missionary. She had cancer, and then we had to send her for, you know, for treatment in South. And she had, you know, the operation, surgery, and then she became very thin, dark, and weak, and chemos after chemos. And doctors told that, you know, don't come. You have to be there in South. Because North India, where we are there, the climate and everything is tough. Within 2 months, she was there. I just saw her. I was shocked. And I said, "That sister, why did you come back?" She was very shy and said that, no, I came back. And when I pressed on, and I told her that you need life. You go back and then get yourself, sorted out. And she told that the people whom God has kept for me are waiting. And how can I be there? If I die, I can die there. Or if I have to die, I can die here. It doesn't make any difference. And I have come for the people God has kept for me. Brothers and sisters, can you identify, can you see the people God has kept for you in London? God has kept for you in these nations. If that is our passion, then God can use us mightily in the days to come.